peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Do you love public radio but hate the thought of selling your old car, truck, or motorcycle? Donate that vehicle to KPR. It'll be picked up and proceeds from its sale will fund our programs. Learn more at kansaspublicradio.org.
It's 79 degrees in Lawrence, 81 in Topeka. The time is 6:06, and you're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We are always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us. We have news headlines coming up in about 12 minutes. At 6:36, Republican Senator Susan Collins is trying to win re-election in the state of Maine. She is touting her ability to deliver federal money to her state as chair of the Appropriations Committee.
That will go away with a freshman senator. It took me years to climb the ladder of seniority.
We'll tell you more about how that race is shaping up. It could be a real corker. We'll talk to you about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting The Addams Family, a musical for the entire family, June 5th through 7th, 11th through 14th, and 18th through the 21st. Tickets and more at theaterlawrence.com.
Mostly sunny skies are expected for tomorrow after partly cloudy skies tonight. We do have a slight chance of rain tomorrow and tomorrow night. Mostly cloudy again on Thursday, a 50% chance of rain on Thursday, and a chance of thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s, a 60% chance of rain on Friday with highs in the lower 80s.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas Book Festival announcing a night for the history books. Bill Curtis remembers on the 60th anniversary of the Topeka tornado, Monday, June 8th at Washburn University in Topeka. Details at kansasbookfestival.com.
It's 79 degrees in Lawrence, 82 in Manhattan, 84 in Abilene, 79 in Atchison. The time is 6:20.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Texas voters decide who they want as their Republican nominee for the Senate, incumbent John Cornyn or Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who was endorsed by President Trump last week. The winner faces off against Democratic nominee James Tallarico in the fall. So who do Texans see as the future of the Republican Party? Hear the results tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Tune in 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow on your KPR stations. We simulcast on KPR 1 and KPR 2. Matthew Algio will have your regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest Natural Home, located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in toxin-free, customizable natural mattresses, bedding, and sustainably made furniture. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
We are about 40 seconds away from our next update of news headlines. Stay tuned. 79 degrees in Lawrence, 82 in Manhattan. It's 6:30.
Next on Wall Street today as hopes a deal on the Iran war could improve the flow of oil. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Most Kansas college students are likely to see higher costs starting in the fall, as five of the six state universities are planning to raise tuition. Daniel Caudill reports.
The Kansas Board of Regents recently got its first look at each university's proposed tuition rates for next school year. Proposed increases range from 3.5% at Pittsburgh State to nearly 6% at Fort Hays State. Tuition at Fort Hays State remains significantly lower than others in Kansas. University leaders say tuition hikes will help make up for inflation and decreases in state funding. Emporia State does not plan to increase tuition. Regents are expected to vote on the proposals at their next meeting in June. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Caudill.
A panel of Kansas legislative leaders today extended an emergency declaration as state officials continue to monitor three people exposed to a deadly strain of hantavirus. Governor Laura Kelly's office requested the extension until June 7th, which is when the three people can stop monitoring for symptoms. Kelly's chief of staff, Will Lawrence, said the exposed individuals were on a plane near someone with a confirmed hantavirus case. They are voluntarily isolating at home and have not shown symptoms. Lawrence said the emergency declaration will be key if those people do develop the virus.
But if things change, if we need to transport them or anything like that, we need to have the declaration in place just so we can move quickly.
Republican Senator Tim Schallenberger cast the only vote against the extension. He questioned the need for an emergency declaration since none of the people have actually developed hantavirus. With preparations well underway at multiple sites, the Kansas City organizers for this year's FIFA World Cup say they are in, quote, operational mode. Greg Eklund has more from organizer headquarters in Kansas City.
Pam Kramer, the head of the Kansas City Organizing Committee, says that citizens from 125 different countries have registered for the fan festival at the World War I Memorial in Kansas City. With team arrivals, including World Cup defending champion Argentina, anticipated for as early as next week, Kramer says Kansas City has already surpassed the doubters who questioned whether or not this area could pull it off.
When you have the reigning world champions starting their defense with the most popular player in the world in Kansas City, that makes believers out of people, right?
The Algerian team will use Lawrence as its base camp, one of four countries to train in this area, more than any other World Cup host city. I'm Greg Eklund.
Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 60, mostly sunny tomorrow with a chance of rain, highs in the mid-80s. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Morning Edition keeps you in touch with your fellow human beings and with people seeking human contact, like those at speed friending events.
It was very good for my soul.
And at no phone bars.
I wanted to create a space where people could come, interact, be vulnerable, be nervous, but be human, you know what I mean?
I do. Listen for Life across the country, weekdays on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Matthew Algio will have your regional news. A. Martinez and Steve Inskeep holding down the national feed.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Located in Lawrence, Kansas, Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brands through merchandising, from design to production to fulfillment. More information at bluecollarpress.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, 96.1 in Lawrence. Lots of other frequencies, too, all around the state. Listed for you and streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Join us for KPR 105 Live from the Dole Institute. Food trucks at 11:30 and a concert featuring Alexa Dawson at 1 p.m. Thursday, June 4th. Live from the Dole Institute. More at doleinstitute.org.
Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us here at KPR. We will have a fresh update of news headlines for you coming up on your KPR One stations. That happens at 7:01. It's followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stick around at 7 o'clock for Reveal. It's 81 degrees in Topeka, 82 in Manhattan at 10 minutes before 7.
William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who help people, communities, and the planet flourish. More information is available at hewlett.org. and from Carnegie Corporation of New York.
Texans decide whether they want incumbent John Cornyn or the Trump-backed Ken Paxton as a Republican nominee for the Senate. Hear the results tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us beginning at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will have your local news. Just in case you are super focused in, just really locked in on the Cornyn-Paxton situation. Polls in Texas have begun to close, so we should have some updates. Stay tuned throughout the evening for NPR Top of the Hour updates.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music at 9 o'clock. Join us for Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Lows around 60 tonight. Chance of rain tomorrow. Highs in the mid-80s. The time is 7:01, and the news is next. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Federal judges are temporarily blocking Alabama's new congressional map, which was designed to benefit Republicans in the midterm elections. Troy Public Radio's Joey Hudson reports.
The three-judge panel issued a preliminary injunction preventing the state from switching maps. This comes as several southern states consider new voting districts after a Supreme Court ruling on April 29th, which struck down Louisiana's congressional map, creating a second majority black district as a, quote, unconstitutional racial gerrymander. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall has praised the Supreme Court ruling.
My job in this office was to put the legislature in the best possible legal position to draw a congressional map that favors Republicans 7-0.
Similar redistricting efforts in other Republican-led states have also faced legal challenges. For NPR News, I'm Joey Hudson in Troy, Alabama.
The Trump administration is proposing a new government-wide non-disclosure agreement for federal employees. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports the administration says media leaks have put federal agents and military members in danger.
In its proposed rule, the Office of Personnel Management says recent leaks about immigration enforcement and the U.S. raid on Venezuela underscore the need for NDAs. But the proposal also appears aimed at stopping leaks related to policy and personnel matters more generally. Already, federal workers are required to safeguard confidential and proprietary government information. Now the administration is defining that broadly to include information about internal agency operations and deliberative material that is not publicly available. According to the proposal, agencies would decide for themselves whether to use the NDA, and federal employees would still have the right to disclose information as part of whistleblower complaints. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
The Iranian national soccer team will train and live in Mexico for the World Cup. NPR's Ader Peralta reports their matches will be in the U.S.
President Trump had said that it wouldn't be appropriate for Iran to participate in the World Cup for, quote, their own life and safety. But on Monday, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum said what the U.S. didn't want was the Iranian team spending nights in the U.S. Instead, she announced the Iranian team would take up residence in Tijuana for the tournament and would make day trips to the U.S. to play their matches. All of this is happening a little more than 2 weeks before the World Cup kicks off. During the group stage, Iran is scheduled to play 2 games in Inglewood and 1 game in Seattle. Ader Peralta, NPR News, Mexico City.
A spring heat wave is scorching parts of Western Europe, breaking temperature records and triggering government warnings. Several drownings have been reported in Britain and France as people try to cool down. Experts say unpredictable and extreme weather is becoming more frequent. The UK is warning of potential health risks, especially for older people. This is NPR News from Washington.
Stardate, May 26th. On September 1st of 1859, Richard Carrington was studying the sun, as he did every day. The British astronomer used a small telescope to project an image of the sun on a screen. That allowed him to map the dark features known as sunspots. But on this day, Carrington saw something he'd never seen before. Bright features mingled with the sunspots. They were the first solar flares ever recorded, and still the most powerful. So the outburst is called the Carrington event in his honor. Carrington also linked the flares to brilliant auroras seen across the globe the following day, the first observations of space weather. Carrington was born 200 years ago today in London. He originally studied theology but became hooked on astronomy. He joined an observatory but left after a couple of years. He built his own observatory in Surrey. Carrington watched the skies both day and night. He compiled star catalogs, and he made the most impressive studies of the sun at that time, revealing some crucial details about the sun. For one thing, it rotates faster near its poles than at the equator. For another, during the 11-year sunspot cycle, the spots move from middle latitudes to near the equator. Carrington eventually had to give up his research. When his father died, he had to take over the family brewery. His health failed as well. He died in 1875, a pioneer at studying the sun. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. Thanks for tuning in on this Tuesday night. Is it summer? Is it not summer? It depends on your vantage point, I suppose. If Memorial Day is the unofficial beginning of summer, it's now unofficially summer. Here is Torre Bermeja, Vermilion Tower, by Isaac Albéniz, harpist Javier de Maestra and Lucero Tena. We'll play the castanets. Vermilion Tower by Isaac Albéniz, played by harpist Javier de Maistra. And the castanet player even gets a credit there, Luciano Tena.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Panda Pediatrics. From newborn to college grad, Panda Pediatrics provides primary care, mental health, dental, and walk-in clinic for kids as they grow into young adults. PandaPEDS.com. And the LMH Health Cancer Center, offering full-service cancer care from diagnostics to treatment to recovery, all in one place. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 81 and fair. Wind is from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 80s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 81 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Actually, now that I think about it, there's castanets in this next piece, too. And that's because Rimsky-Korsakov, a Russian composer, is heading to Spain to give us his impressions in his Capriccio Español, and this is the Rotterdam Philharmonic, conducted by David Zinman.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Capriccio Espanol. Italian. This is the second time I've done that. Spanish Caprice. There we go. By Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. The Rotterdam Philharmonic, conducted by David Zinman. Tchaikovsky's Italian Caprice is, for some reason, insisting that it be front of mind for me today here, at least. Ravel in a moment. Steve Seal, thanks for joining me. The Piano Trio in A Minor by Maurice Ravel is played here by the Lysander Piano Trio.
Thank you.
Heard the Piano Trio in A Minor by Maurice Ravel. One of those great Ravel quotes come with this piece. He wrote it in 1914, and then he said in a letter to a friend, "I've written my trio. Now all I need are the themes." He said something similar, I think, about Bolero, which was, "I've written a piece of music that contains no music." We heard the Lysander Piano Trio. That would be Itamar Zorman, Liza Stepanova, and James Kim in chamber music by Maurice Ravel here on this Tuesday evening. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 79 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 80s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 79 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Leave it to Respighi to open a piece with a gong. You think that's something that you're sort of supposed to leave to the end? Might be Respighi at his most quadruple forte in this music, which is really saying something. It's not quite common knowledge that his works, The Pines of Rome and The Fountains of Rome, were actually just the first two parts of a trilogy. The third part, Roman Festivals. You want to talk about music that is bacchanalian, Dionysian, this would be Roman Festivals. Turbocharged Respighi, and it's coming up this
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Texas Republicans have selected Attorney General Ken Paxton to be their nominee for this year's U.S. Senate race over four-term incumbent John Cornyn. That's according to a race call from the Associated Press. The election brings to a close a bitter and expensive primary. President Trump endorsed Paxton. It was Trump's latest effort to rid the Republican leaders he views as less devoted to him. Paxton has fended off criminal indictments, whistleblower allegations, and an impeachment by the Texas House. He was acquitted in the Texas Senate. He'll face Democrat James Tallarico in November. Iran says it has shot down a U.S. drone after the U.S. targeted Iranian Navy boats. That comes as Iran and the U.S. are negotiating a deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and enter nuclear talks. NPR's Daniel Estrin reports.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio said a deal could be days away, but it's unclear how the latest military escalation will affect efforts to reach a deal. Iran said at least four naval officers were killed in the U.S. attacks. The U.S. says it was targeting boats laying mines. And Iran reported explosions around a city on the Strait of Hormuz. That's the strategic waterway crucial to the world's oil and gas supplies that the U.S. wants Iran to reopen. Israel's opposition leader, Yair Lapid, called the Iran deal being negotiated bad. He argued it would be a matter of time before another war erupts between Israel and Iran. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
President Trump is more than doubling the amount of refugees that can be admitted to the U.S. But as NPR's Meg Anderson reports, the increase in the refugee cap only applies to Afrikaners, an almost entirely white ethnic group in South Africa.
In the memo, the president says the change is due to, quote, the incitement of racially motivated violence on the part of the government of South Africa. He then increased the refugee ceiling by 10,000. That increase comes after Trump decreased the refugee cap last fall to just 7,500 for the year, the lowest number since the U.S. refugee program was established in 1980. The Trump administration has long set its sights on easing the refugee process for white South Africans while restricting it for people from other countries. In a statement, the International Rescue Committee, a humanitarian nonprofit, said the Trump administration's decision, quote, excludes many of the world's most vulnerable from access to protection. Meg Anderson, NPR News.
Two-thirds of Americans say they are cutting back on spending as prices rise due to the Iran war. The national average price for a gallon of regular gas has soared from $2.98 at the end of February to $4.49 now. In California, it's $6.11. Americans have soured on President Trump's economic policies, polls show, potentially creating problems for Republicans heading into midterm elections. This is NPR News. Brazilian Senator Flavio Bolsonaro is in Washington leaning on his disgraced father's connection with former President Trump. The elder Bolsonaro, Jair, is in prison. He was convicted of attempting a coup after losing the 2022 election. Flavio is trying to bolster his presidential bid after receiving millions of dollars from a disgraced banker. Bolsonaro denies wrongdoing, claiming the money was for a movie about his father. In New York City, a revival of Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Evita has found a Broadway home. The production starring Rachel Zegler will open in March, Jeff London reports.
Jamie Lloyd's minimalist production, which played a sold-out run at London's Palladium, will start performances at the end of February next year in New York. Rachel Zegler, who won an Olivier playing Ava Perón, will reprise the role here, though not at all performances. Evita will begin its run at the Winter Garden following a fall engagement of Lloyd's production of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, another London hit, starring Tom Hiddleston and Haley Atwell. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
The Scripps National Spelling Bee runs through Thursday this week. This year's is the 98th edition. 30 of the past 36 champions have come from families of Indian heritage. The champion of the bee receives more than $50,000 in CASH and prizes. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org.
Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday evening for some good listening. I'm Steve Seal. Coming up, Respighi's third part of what's often referred to as the Roman Trilogy, and certainly the less often heard third of that being Roman festivals. Pines of Rome, Fountains of Rome, very often played. Why don't we hear Roman festivals as often? I think it's because it's so over the top, quite frankly, and it's kind of entertaining for that fact alone. Well, we'll enjoy that in a little under 20 minutes. The Neighbor's Dance from The Three-Cornered Hat by Manuel de Falla. The Neighbor's Dance from The Three-Cornered Hat by Manuel de Falla. There's a classic recording, an oldie but a goodie. The Boston Pops Orchestra led by Arthur Fiedler. Our music this evening is supported in part by Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort, offering a small ship experience with a shore excursion included in every port and onboard cultural enrichment as well. Discover more at viking.com. Not entertainment, it's cultural enrichment. The Violin Sonata No. 12 by Arcangelo Corelli is subtitled La Folia, and that nickname is a reference to a tune that shows up in it. It's one of the oldest tunes kind of that there is in Western music. It's one that it has been taken up by countless composers because it's a folk tune that goes back generations, eras, epochs. And Jordi Savall plays the viola da gamba here with his group in this music of Arcangelo Corelli.
Thank you.
Violin Sonata No. 12, subtitled La Follia by Arcangelo Corelli. Basically a set of variations on that very, very old folk tune, La Follia. Jordi Savall played viola da gamba with his group.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Information about KU's research is at ku.edu. And Spider Arc Constructors, offering foundation repair for leaky basements, cracks, leaning walls, and waterproofing. More information on home preservation is at spider with a Y, spiderarcconstructors.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 79 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 80s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 79 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Roman Festivals is a tone poem by Respighi that's the last of the three tone poems about Rome, following the fountains of Rome and the pines of Rome. So he referred to the three together as a triptych, and each movement depicts a scene of celebration in ancient and contemporary Rome, specifically gladiators battling to the death, the Christian Jubilee, harvest and hunt festival, and then a festival in the Piazza Navona. Here's the RAI National Symphony Orchestra of Italy, led here by Robert Trevino.
Thank you. Thank you.
Roman Festivals by Respighi. Robert Trevino led the RAI National Symphony Orchestra of Italy. A concert piece for clarinet and basset horn by Mendelssohn. Tea King clarinet and Georgina Dobry plays the basset horn. Thank you. Concert piece for clarinet and basset, kind of related instruments. Taya King clarinet, Georgina Dobry played the basset horn with the London Symphony Orchestra.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 76 and fair. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 76 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Texas Republicans nominated State Attorney General Ken Paxton over four-term incumbent John Cornyn in their Senate primary today after an endorsement from President Trump, according to a race call by the Associated Press. At more than $100 million, it was the most expensive primary in Senate history. Democrats hope the seat could be attainable because of divisions among Republicans in the race. Paxton spoke during a rally after the results came in.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I will be the Democrats' number one target in November. Texas will be the radical left's number one priority. But if there's one thing I know about Texans, it's that we're not going to let them take it.
Paxton will face Democrat James Tallarico in the general election. Paxton's time in office has been scandal-plagued. He's fended off criminal indictments, whistleblower allegations, and an impeachment by the Texas House. He was acquitted in the Texas Senate. A federal court in Alabama has blocked the state's redistricting plan, but Tennessee's new congressional maps have withstood their first legal challenge. Mariana Bacayao of member station WPLN reports.
A three-judge panel in Tennessee rejected an emergency petition filed by the NAACP to stop the new congressional map from going into effect. The change splits the state's majority black city of Memphis into three different districts. The NAACP had argued that the General Assembly went beyond its authority when it struck down a 50-year-old law prohibiting mid-decade redistricting. The judges disagreed. The petition is the first of four lawsuits seeking to block the new map, and a separate lawsuit by the NAACP filed in federal court is still going forward. For NPR News, I'm Mariana Bacayao in Nashville.
The U.S. men's soccer team has announced the 26-man roster for this summer's World Cup. NPR's Becky Sullivan reports the squad is split between World Cup veterans and newcomers.
The roster was rolled out with all the bells and whistles at a public fan event in New York City. One by one, the players were called to the stage and introduced to a cheering crowd. Among the veterans on the team are midfielders Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams, plus defender Tim Ream, and, of course, forward Christian Pulisic, the country's biggest soccer star.
You only have a World Cup in your home country once in your life, so I'm going to take advantage of these opportunities, and I'm grateful I get to do this.
The new faces include defender Chris Richards and forward Alex Sendejas. Hopes are high for this U.S. squad with the World Cup here on home soil. They have two tune-up friendly matches in the coming days before their first World Cup game on June 12th. Becky Sullivan, NPR News, New York.
NASA is already ordering landers, rovers, and drones for a sprawling moon base less than 2 months after the Artemis II mission. NASA outlined the first phase of its moon base plans today. The hardware should arrive ahead of the first Artemis astronaut's landing, which is planned for as early as 2028. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Attorneys say a woman fired by Ball State University in Indiana over her Facebook post criticizing Charlie Kirk will receive $225,000 in a legal settlement. The ACLU of Indiana says the school agreed to the payout to settle a First Amendment lawsuit by Suzanne Swerk. The president of Ball State defended the firing, saying the post caused extraordinary damage to the school's reputation. Ride-hail drivers in Massachusetts today are celebrating becoming the industry's first certified labor union. From member station WBUR, Andrea Perdomo-Hernandez reports.
In 2024, voters in Massachusetts approved the right of Uber and Lyft drivers to organize. The measure paved the way for ride-hail drivers, considered independent contractors, to form a union. Now, the App Drivers Union is formally recognized by the state. Here's Service Employees International Union President April Verrett.
This is the starting line. Tomorrow we organize, tomorrow we build more power, and tomorrow we win. History is ours to shape. Now let's go get it.
Verrett says the group plans to negotiate pay and work conditions with platforms like Lyft and Uber in the near future. For NPR News, I'm Andrea Perdomo-Hernandez in Boston.
Jim Henson's puppet-making studio is drawing back its curtain. Guided walkthroughs of the Creature Shop began in February in Queens. The tours give fans a chance to meet a puppet builder and see a demonstration with characters from Fraggle Rock, The Muppet Show, and Sesame Street. Henson founded the workshop in the 1960s and died in 1990. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR produce programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression.
Thank you. Walter Theodore Rollins, Sonny Rollins, and his signature piece, one of his signature pieces, St. Thomas from 1956, an aptly titled album, Saxophone Colossus with Tommy Flanagan, piano, Doug Watkins, bass, Max Roach, drums. We learned of the death of Sonny Rollins yesterday at the age of 95, born in Harlem in 1930, grew up there in a neighborhood called Stryver's Row, and was surrounded by musicians, including contemporaries like Jackie McLean and Kenny Drew and Art Taylor. And before he was out of his teens, he was playing and touring with Bud Powell and the like. And Miles Davis and others said he was the powerhouse saxophonist of the early 50s. But like so many musicians of his era, he was afflicted by heroin addiction. He entered rehab in 1955, got clean, and then a prodigious outpouring of recordings from 56 to 59, including that one, Saxophone Colossus. And then he took a sabbatical. He wasn't satisfied with who he was playing and his jazz, place in jazz, and he practiced up to 15 hours a day on the pedestrian walkway, the Williamsburg Bridge. When he came back, the comeback album in 1962 was called The Bridge. We're going to hear the title track to that right now here on Kansas Public Radio.